all week long, we've been playing you this sound.
Ebenezer Scrooge has come home from his counting house to encounter the phantom of his old dead partner, Jacob Marley.
Think you recognize that? To tell you more, we sent KALW's Nina Gensler Dubs to San Francisco's Cow Palace.
I should think to recoup a little of our story before we begin here.
I'm sitting with a group of a couple dozen people pressed in around a table to hear Charles Dickens tell us the tale of his classic, A Christmas Carol. This is the second of three readings he'll give today.
Let us recall that Ebenezer Scrooge has come home from his counting house to encounter the phantom of his old dead partner, Jacob Marley. Dead 7 years ago this very night.
If it wasn't for the crowds wandering just beyond the door or the occasional flash of a camera, it's almost possible to imagine that you are, in fact, sitting in Victorian-era London on a snowy day. And that is exactly where the Dickens Christmas Fair wants to take you.
Here we come, a waltzing among the leaves so green. Here we come, a wandering so fair.
The fair takes up 3 acres of the exhibition halls of the Cow Palace. It's roughly divided into 2 larger sections. One part is a more well-heeled London. Think top hats and brocaded gowns.
And the Honorable Mr. Snob, as always.
Good day, sir, good day, and a happy Christmas to you all.
The other half is the seedier East London. That's where you'll find Cockney accents and generous displays of cleavage.
They're the builder's sewer, no less. It's true, it's a shame.
Within both areas, there are almost 100 vendors, 5 pubs, 7 stages, and lots of elaborate sets. There's hay sprinkled on the floor, it smells like sugared almonds, and the lighting is soft. It's supposed to feel like twilight on Christmas Eve.
We bring in over 14 semi-truckloads full of materials and building and decorations to build the physical aspect of the fair.
That's Kevin Patterson, the executive director of the Dickens Christmas Fair. He tells me that producing this fair is, quote, in his blood. His parents started by producing a Renaissance fair here in 1967.
And when my parents were doing the Renaissance Fair, they were also doing a lot of themed parties.
To make a long story short, Kevin's parents hosted a Victorian-themed party that all the guests loved, and who said, you should make this as a fair. So they did. And in 1970, the Dickens Christmas Fair was born. Kevin and his wife took over producing it in 2000.
So there are 3 generations of people here who have been working since they worked with my parents in the 1960s, developing their crafts and developing their acting skills.
And there is a sense of a garden where the older trees and so on have been there for a long time and things grow around them and they know how to bloom and all of that.
That's Robert Young. You heard him earlier performing as Charles Dickens. He's been involved with the fair since 1986 and became Dickens in 1990.
Phyllis Patterson, Kevin's mother, one of the original producers, buttonholed, as they say, buttonholed me during a rehearsal and said, you ought to play Mr. Dickens. I'm like, really? She said, oh, yes, yes, yes. And that began it.
He's been Charles Dickens ever since. Robert is one of 800 actors, volunteers, and independent outside groups working here, playing characters who sing, dance, eat, drink, and interact with fairgoers and each other. All of them go through the same rigorous training program, a 3-weekend-long series of workshops to learn how to be as authentic as possible.
We request that everybody do a language workshop, to do a social history workshop, and to do an acting workshop, generally improv or deep character work, that sort of thing, to really get the blood stirring and get you going with your character work. So there's a fair amount of training.
The best of the holidays, Merry Christmas to you this day, and may your new year be filled with fortune in every way.
That's Father Christmas. He's another longtime actor. And like Kevin Patterson's parents, he also raised his child at the Dickens Fair. And now that child, Shannon Domnovitz, is the marketing director for the fair.
I have vague memories of being very small and essentially running wild throughout the bays and feeling absolute freedom.
Hey! Hey!
You could say that Shannon's life was shaped by her involvement with the fair. She met, grew up with, and then married another participant. Now they have two kids who work there every year. She says that there have been some unforeseen consequences from raising your kids at a Victorian fair.
The teachers and the principal wanted to speak to me about my daughter and the fact that she was telling tall tales. She had told her other classmates that her grandfather was Father Christmas.
And sometimes it can be tough for non-fair people to really get it.
They can only equate it with a community theater or an amusement park, the thing that we're all investing our lives and our families in. So it's difficult to know when you can break with reality and when you can't.
But for the most part, people who play parts in the fair seem to happily and wholly abandon the reality of 2016 for this world.
I am Matthias Kupriason, inventor extraordinaire, and Arms Dealer International.
So I'm Jack, and I'm a able seaman before the mast on Her Majesty's ship Albion.
As you might be able to guess, those are assumed identities. When I ask these men what their real names are, each of them looks a little puzzled and, frankly, a little dismayed to be taken out of their characters. Matthias Kupriason, a.k.a. Matt Friedman, is one of the visitors to the fair that chooses to show up in full steampunk attire, including a waistcoat, top hat, and mad scientist goggles. He's here with a big group of other steampunks, and he wishes that more people took the time to dress up.
The crowds and everybody who doesn't like to actually try to get into the period kind of destroys the immersion a bit.
And able seaman Jack, a.k.a. John Carlson, is so committed to his character, he doesn't drop the English accent for our entire conversation and refers to the fair as London.
I've been going to London since the 1980s, I think. What I find so wonderful about this is that it is such an uplifting and such a wonderful, warm and gracious event.
And with his line of work, John tells me he needs warm and uplifting moments.
In my mundane life, I'm a firefighter. I've been doing that for over 35 years. And we see a great deal of the tragedy and the trauma in humanity. And so for me to come here, it gives me a little relief and a little joy.
Here we come, the Wassailing among the leaves of green.
A little joy. That is what the Dickens Christmas Fair aims to deliver to all of its visitors. And to quote Scrooge himself, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year." In Victorian London, I'm Nina Gensler-Debs for Cross Currents.
We are not daily beggars that beg from door to door, but we are neighbors' children who